All right, let's go to 2 Kings tonight, chapter number 2. It's after 1 and 2 Samuel. You've got 1 and 2 Kings. So if you know where 1 Samuel is, you're fairly close. We're going to go to 2 Kings 2. Is there anyone in here that's ever run in a relay race? When I was in high school, I ran track, and I was on the team at my high school that we run relay races. And you know what? In a relay race, no matter how hard and how fast you run, if the person you hand the baton to can't run, the race is going to be lost. Okay, you understand that? Well, here in our text, 2 Kings 2, the mighty prophet Elijah hands the baton of God off, if you will. I'm going to use that analogy. He hands the baton of God off to his right-hand man, Elisha. Now, the message could get a little confusing, unless you understand. We got two prophets, Elijah with a J, and Elisha with an S. Okay? Elijah hands it off to Elisha. Elijah, in this chapter, is going to go home to be with the Lord. Elisha is going to stay on the earth and carry on the prophetic work of God there in Israel at that time. Now, God is looking for some men and women today that He can hand the baton to, so to speak, and carry on the work of God. You read stories about the revivals of the 1800s, and you read stories about guys, you know, Billy Sunday and D.L. Moody and the great missionaries, and you read their stories, and that's all well and good, but the bottom line is, man, those guys are all dead. They're not here anymore. And they're not going to lead any souls to Christ, and they're not going to accomplish the work of God. Elijah hands the baton off to Elisha, and he runs with it. I got to tell you, he runs with it. He's going to end up doing twice the miracles that Elijah did. And it's kind of neat because Elisha was the son of a farmer. He's only mentioned one time in the Bible up to this point. So it's not like he's this well-known guy. I mean, he's really an unknown. He'd just kind of been hanging out with Elijah. He's only mentioned one other time in the Bible. He's the son of a farmer. And I'm thinking, why would he get the baton? Why would he end up getting, as we're going to see tonight, a double portion of Elijah's spirit and work twice the miracles? And you know what it boils down to as I read this text? Really, the reason why he gets the baton is because God knew that He could trust him. He knew He could trust Elisha. And God is looking for people that He can trust to carry on His work here on earth. And as I look at this, I think, what is there to learn here? Well, I want to read a little bit of the story to set the backdrop, and then we're going to get into it. Okay, look at verse 1. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind." So God had already decided that He's going to take Elijah on up, going to rapture him out, if you will, catch him up in a whirlwind. "That Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, Tarry here, I pray thee. Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha, and they said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? So somehow they had known, they're sons of the prophets, so now they've got revelation from the Lord. This is the day Elijah's leaving. And so they go to Elisha. Did you know that today's going to be the day your master is going to be gone? And he said, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. Verse 4. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee. For the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, took his coat, wrapped it together, and smote the waters, smote the river Jordan. And the Bible says that the waters were divided hither and thither so that they too, Elijah and Elisha, went over on dry ground. And it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I'm taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Whew, how would you like to go that way, huh? Boy, if the rapture happens tonight, we will, amen. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. And said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither. And Elisha went over, and when the sons of the prophets which were to view at Jericho saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bowed themselves to the ground before him. Elisha proved that he was a trustworthy servant of the Lord. And God could trust him. I want to look at Elisha, and I want you to notice three things about this man Elisha and why God could trust him. Number one, church, Elisha demonstrated a total commitment. Elisha, a lot of you may not realize this, Elisha had been with Elijah now for 10 years, serving and ministering. It was now time for Elijah to leave the earth. And in verse 2, Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. He said, man, you stay here. I'm going to Bethel. Why? He's been his right-hand man for 10 years. Why would he say, you stay here, I'm going to Bethel? Well, the only thing I can figure out as I read the Bible is it was obviously a test. And God was testing Elisha's commitment to see if he would be faithful to the end. And I want you to notice Elisha's response there about the middle of verse 2. Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Well, they get there and Elijah says in verse 4, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. He said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. You go down to verse 6. And here they are again. Elijah said, tarry ye here, I'm going to go to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they too went on. Three times Elijah says, stay here, I'm going on. Three times Elisha makes a total commitment. And he says, I will not leave you. God loves a person who is resolved and is full of commitment. And as Elisha kept saying, the Lord liveth, I will not leave you. I'm just picturing God up in heaven with a big grin. And God smiling, thinking, now there's a man I can trust. I want you to notice a few insights here into Elisha's commitment. I want you to notice, first of all, Elisha's commitment had nothing to do with gifts and abilities. Who was Elisha? I told you a minute ago, he was the son of a farmer. He was raised out in the fields. You know where he was when God called him? You know where he was when Elijah called him? He was out in the fields plowing when Elijah called him. Verse 3 talks about who? Who's the group that's mentioned there in verse 3? Look at it. Who is the group? Sons of the prophets. Preacher's kids, if you will. PKs, they call them, right? Preacher's kids. Man, they've been raised up around the ministry. They're the sons of the prophets. Their daddies were prophets. And they've been raised up around the work of God. You'd think one of them would be the logical choice to fill Elijah's shoes. But you look there at verse 7, and it says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they too stood by Jordan. So the sons of the prophets are back there watching while Elisha is walking across the Jordan River on dry ground. Here's the sons of the prophets watching afar off the action. Well, what's the difference between them and this farm boy? Was it gifts and abilities? No. His one word, commitment. Commitment. That's what God's looking for. It doesn't matter how many gifts and abilities you possess. If you aren't committed, God cannot fully use you. I don't care if a guy can get up and teach and hold people spellbound while he teaches. If he's not committed to the work of God, God cannot fully use that man. You got to be committed. You got to get off the fence and get committed. And God is looking for people that are committed. And it has nothing to do with gifts and abilities. What do they say? The best ability is availability. Amen? It's a yieldedness and a commitment to the things of God. I want you to notice the second thing, that Elisha's commitment was tried. That is, it was tested. Three times Elijah said, stay here while I go. And three times, you know what he said? I will not leave you. Then came the big test. Verse 8, Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters, and they were divided hither and thither. He takes his coat, smotes the river Jordan, the waters go whoop. You got a wall of water here, a wall of water there. And if you're Elisha, if he's anything like me, he's thinking, now I know that this is the day he's going to go to heaven. And it may just be God's going to use that river to take him to heaven. And when he gets in there, whoop, and that, there he goes. He's in heaven, you know. And so I'm thinking, you know, you're Elisha. You're thinking, well, man, it's been a great ride, buddy. I'll see you later. See you, Elijah. It's been great, man. Been a great ride. This is where we part. It was here that his commitment was tried. It was here that it was tested. Put to the test. And he could either confirm his commitment or he could compromise his commitment. And let me just say this, your commitment too will be tried. You can bank on it. When you get committed to the things of God, it will be tried and it will be tested. Somebody will say something to offend you. Somebody will say something to discourage you. Somebody will do you dirty or do you wrong. Things don't always go as planned. Have you noticed that? And when you get committed, listen, I remember when I got committed that I want to spend my life in the ministry. I want to spend my life doing what I'm doing tonight. And I remember when I made that commitment. And I remember I went off to Bible college and I went 1,000 miles from home and I didn't know a soul in Jacksonville, Florida, where I went to train for the ministry. And within a month or two of being there, I mean, I'm just there wanting to serve God. Man, I'm just committed to the things of God. And within a month and a half or 2 months, I ended up with salmonella food poisoning in the hospital for a week. I have never been that sick in my life. I mean sick. Have you ever been so sick you thought, am I going to live? Have you ever been so sick you thought, maybe I ought to die? And man, I mean, I was so sick. I mean, and I was in the hospital for a week. I mean, I'm talking about over 104 fever. It was bad. And you know what? It would have been so easy to quit. Well, it must not be God's will. I get so sick of hearing that. You look at circumstances. Well, it must not be God's will. If it was God's will, I wouldn't have got food poisoning, so I guess he doesn't want me here. I better just go on home. You know what? If I'd have gone on home after that, I'd have never met that little lady. Because it wasn't until the next semester. And you know what? I wouldn't be here preaching to you right now. Your commitment will be tried. It will be tested. And I also noticed another thing. It wasn't until Elisha showed a total commitment that God demonstrated his power through Elisha. You see, in a few verses, remember, the River Jordan's like this. Now he's got to decide, am I going to go out or not? Am I going to go out into this or not? Am I going to stay committed or not? And in a few verses, Elisha's going to experience God's power like never before. But first he had to make the total commitment. So many times, we want to see God's power demonstrated before we commit. If I see his power, then I'll commit. Oh, if God does something really amazing, then I'll commit. And so we sit on the shelf of the undecided. And we never experience the thrill of seeing God work through us mightily, as Paul said in Ephesians 3:20. Because God works through faithful, committed followers. It's that simple. He works through faithful, committed followers. Some of you in here, you're not even touching the hem of the garment of what you could do if you just get committed. You're not even touching the hem of the garment of what you could do if you just get committed. Some of you need to be in the Bible Institute. You need to be serious about getting your training. And in 3 years, you need to be walking up here and you could be out in the ministry somewhere, full time, serving the Lord. Shane and Dan made a commitment 3 years ago. I'm going to get in the Bible Institute. I'm going to be serious about it. I'm going to finish. 3 years later, he's walking. Now where is he? Full-time staff, church in Bunnell, Florida. He's serving the Lord there, full-time. You just got to get committed. You got to make the commitment. Had Elisha quit, he'd have never seen God's power working through him like he did here in a few verses as we read. But I look at this and I notice that not only did Elisha have a total commitment, that's why he got the baton, but I also noticed that he chose proper priorities. If you look down at verse number 9, this is quite amazing. It says verse 8 says they two went over on dry ground. So he just saw Elijah part the river. They go over on dry ground. They get over to the other side. Verse 9, it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. I don't know if you got the impact of that. I want you to think about that for just a minute. Here's a guy that just parted the Jordan River. And he now turns to Elisha and says, what do you want before I leave? Ask it, you got it. Now, I don't know about you, most of us would have stewed on that for a few days, right? I mean, here's a guy that just parted a river. And he's just looked at me and said, what do you want? Before I leave, what do I want? Yeah, what do you want? This is interesting. Fame? Money? Wealth? What do I want? This guy's just asked me what you want before I leave today. We may have stewed on that, but Elisha didn't. He never batted an eye. Look at verse 9. He says, Elisha said, the end of verse 9, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. Whew. Do you see now why God chose Elisha? God could trust the man. He chose proper priorities. And I noticed that as I read this, that proper priorities are a personal choice. Could Elijah have made the choice for Elisha? Yes or no? I mean, he was older. He was wiser. He could have said, hey, man, this is what you need, and I'm going to give it to you. But he didn't do that. It was Elisha's choice. And Elisha said, you know what I want? I want God's spirit and power so that I can serve my God. I want a double portion of what you've got. Man, what a passion for God. Where does God rank in your life? Is He the number one passion of your life? Or does God regularly have to take a back seat to other things in your life? God cannot use a person whose priorities are out of whack. I noticed that our priorities are a personal choice, but then I also noticed that our priorities should involve what we are, not what we can get. Elisha, he could have asked for wealth. He could have asked for health. He could have asked for a long life. He could have asked for fame. He could have asked for honor. But instead, he said, I want a double portion of your spirit so that I can be an effective servant for the Lord. And our number one priority in life, and it goes back to the men's conference, which was awesome yesterday, by the way. But our number one priority in life ought to be to become men and women of God who walk with God. Amen. That ought to be our number one priority. And you know what that involves? That involves what kind of person we are, not what we can get. Right. When my number one priority is, I want to have the biggest church in Daytona. That's foolishness. It's stupid. And if your number one priority is, I want to have the biggest life group in the church, you know, or I want to have the nicest car of anybody up there at that church. You know what? When our priorities revolve around what we can get, we know we're out of whack. Listen, our priorities should revolve around who we are, what kind of person we are, and what kind of passion do you have for God. Our consuming passion should be to know God in a personal and an intimate way. That ought to be our priority. That's Elisha, man. God said, I can trust that guy. Why? Well, because the guy's got proper priorities. He just got asked by the mighty prophet who just parted the river, what do you want? You can have it. I want a double portion of your spirit. That's what I want. Double portion of your spirit. Now, you understand that in the dispensation of grace today, there's not really such a thing as a single portion, double portion, triple portion. Aren't you glad when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit when you got saved? But I'm going to tell you this. You know what? You got all the Holy Spirit, but are you filled with the Spirit? It's not that I pray in more Spirit. It's that I walk with God so the Spirit will live through me. And the Spirit of God wants to be manifested through us. He's already in us, got all of Him, never going to get any more of the Holy Spirit. But as I give Him me, and as I surrender to Him, and as I yield to the Holy Spirit, then He's able to work through my life. And that ought to be the passion of our life, is that the Holy Spirit of God will work through us and use us to impact others, as Pastor Rob talked about at the men's conference. Impacting others for Christ. That's what it's all about. And that's what Elisha wanted. I want a double portion of your spirit to be able to serve my God. He had proper priorities. And then I noticed one final thing about why the baton was handed to him. Not only did the man make a total commitment. I'm not going to leave you, Elijah. Okay, you want me to walk across the river? Let's go. Not only did he have a total commitment, not only did he choose proper priorities, but you know why he got that baton? It's because the man had a personal faith. In verse number 11, it came to pass as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it. And he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. Can you do me a favor, Seth? Can you take off your coat a minute? Can you lay it down on those steps right there? Thanks. I want you to get the picture. They're walking together one second, and the next second, chariots and horses of fire from heaven come down, catch up Elijah, and he's gone. Elisha does exactly what you and I would do. Ah! He cries out, oh! I mean, imagine seeing that. And he cries out, and he takes his clothes and rips them into. I'm not going to do that, all right? But he takes his clothes and he rips them in two. And I want you to get the picture here. Elisha is standing there with his clothes all torn up. And he's looking around. He's, what in the world just happened? Then all of a sudden he looks down. And there's Elijah's mantle, his coat. There's Elijah's coat. The same one he smote the Jordan River with and did that. He goes over there. And he looks down. Elijah's gone. But he left his coat behind. So he stoops down. He picks up Elijah's coat. And in verse 14, it says there he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and smote the waters. He goes over there, takes that coat. You got keys in there, brother. Elijah didn't have keys in his. He takes that coat, hits the waters, and he cries out, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And you know, that really struck me. When I read that, because I thought, there's a man who knew where the power was. He knew the power wasn't in the mantle. He knew the power wasn't in Elijah. He knew the power was in God. Amen. And he had his faith in the right place. He had a personal faith. He couldn't ride the coattails of Elijah's faith. You can't ride the coattails of mom and daddy's faith or grandma and grandpa's faith. Elijah's gone. Now he's got to have his own personal faith. What was the result? Look at the end of verse 14. And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. Look at me. You need a personal faith and walk with Jesus Christ. Mom's faith isn't going to cut it. Daddy's faith isn't going to cut it. Your life group teacher's faith isn't going to cut it for you. Pastor Dan's faith isn't going to work for you. You got to have a personal faith. Do you have that personal, daily, strong faith in Jesus? Are you walking with Him by faith daily? God said, there's a man I can trust. He's the son of a farmer. He's only mentioned one time in the whole Bible. There's 50 sons of the prophets just in this one area here. They've been raised up around the ministry, but God says, I think I'll take that guy Elisha. Why? Because that's a man that's made a total commitment of his life. He's committed to the cause. That's a man that has proper priorities. And boy, you can see a series of tests this man went through in this chapter. There's a man that has proper priorities, and there's a man that has a personal faith. And God took that baton, handed it to Elisha, and boy, did he run with it. And if you look in the Bible at the recorded miracles of Elijah, you'll find Elisha did twice the number. Isn't that neat? I want a double portion. That's exactly what he got. Let's go to God in prayer tonight.